Hi, I'm Britton LaRue, and this is Moon to Moon. Moon to Moon is a space to consider, celebrate, and share the ways we come home to ourselves, anchor through change, and uncover our power. 1 month, one phase, one loving step at a time. Hello, Moon to Moon. It's Britton, and I'm here with a fascinating, expansive, and truly deep conversation with a human being named Casey Carroll. I'm going to begin with Casey's bio. I don't usually begin with the bio, but I want to draw you in this way. Casey Carroll is the founder and creative director of BWB. A female-founded and led creative agency for those with a little revolution in their heart. She is a committed mother, writer, and visual strategist focused on questioning and inviting critical conversation on the social and cultural impacts of branding and marketing. Casey has developed brand campaigns for Fortune 500 companies and small pioneering brands, making the big brands take notice. She speaks on feminist approaches to business, gender equity, and how to put identity work into brand identity work. She believes that holding and asking questions is essential to transform our internal worlds and to revolutionize our institutions and industries for the better. She is the creator of Questions to Hold, which includes a podcast, card deck, and series of workshops and speaking engagements emphasizing questioning as a key business and life practice. As a coach, Casey supports women entrepreneurs and leaders in stepping into their personal power through her unique midwifery model and Be You Boldly mission. A midwife of ideas who knows how to ground visions into reality, Casey leverages her creativity, business acumen, and background in holistic wellness to create a field of possibility and direct pathway to those seeking to build a better, more just marketplace. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Casey Carroll, for everything that you bring to the world and here to Moon to Moon. So, there's a lot there that those of you who listen to Moon to Moon in any kind of regular way may have been dinging to give you a sneak peek of the ways in which Casey and I are very much in affinity on a lot of topics, namely our obsession with questions. Listeners of Moon to Moon know that I have a series called Living the Questions, and the start of every chapter of my new book begins with questions to live into for each sign. So I absolutely love that Casey builds her practice around questions to hold, both through the tool, the card deck, as well as through her podcast for communicating and building community, as well as a framework for supporting her clients. So I invited Casey on, not really knowing what we would talk about. As you'll hear about how we connected, we are at the beginning of a friendship. We don't know where this is going. But as two humans who are committed to the openness of not knowing, it's been very refreshing and very easeful to come into this understanding with another human being that I know I'm going to see you again. I don't know exactly when. I don't really know how, but I trust that we will know when the time is here. This is very much how I enjoy living in the world, and I love being able to lean into the earthy qualities of Casey that feel so reliable and feel very anchored and grounded in her self-knowing and in her practicality. In her chart, this comes through her Taurus rising signature, as well as through her Capricorn sun. She's got the big Capricorn conjunct Jupiter sun up in that ninth house, very close to her midheaven. And then Casey has that chart ruler Venus with Mars in Pisces. So this a chart ruler is exalted in Pisces in the 11th house of community building and constellating human beings together around shared hope and dreams. Meanwhile, also in water is Casey's moon in Scorpio. She's also Saturn in Scorpio, Pluto in Scorpio, South Node in Scorpio. There's a lot of Scorpio Taurus signature here. Really bringing that depth, you know, like really bringing that flashlight, really wanting to get to the essence of things and like not be afraid to poke, you know, like what's under there, you know, that kind of probing quality that you'll feel from Casey has this like juicy, yummy Scorpionic quality that, you know, I just really love. So this is a rich conversation. Y'all know that I'm very interested in exploring business and money and promo and branding as a form of magic and as a form of love and as forms of service, as ways to participate in our world and share our gifts abundantly and joyfully and freely. And also, we live in a world with a very complicated marketplace that is often very, very harmful, that is often violent, that has a history that in a lot of it we're not proud of. And also there's this desire piece to exchange and to trust in ourselves that magic can happen. And the more that we're in touch with who we are and the more we're asking really profound questions of ourselves and what we want to bring to this world, that what grows from that can be revolutionary, can be liberatory, can feel creative and fun and pleasurable to everyone experiencing it. You know, I didn't set out in my career to be someone who's a bit of a mystical business coach. I wasn't ever intending for my work to go in the direction of money or abundance or branding magic, promo magic. It just sort of happened along the way that as I was building my mystical career and I was tinkering with all of these things myself as someone with no business experience and someone who identified as someone who, like, quote unquote, doesn't know anything about business or doesn't know anything about marketing. I fully had these stories not very long ago. Along the way, I found myself wanting to talk with emerging mystics, emerging magicians, and really not just even emerging, like people who are like really in the hustle and they are moving from part-time to full-time and things like this. My heart is here so much, you know, like this is so much of what the Magician's Table is about, my three-month offering that's in its fourth year right now this spring. And it's become really what people come and work with me on. It's like really how to build a feasible, sustainable, but even more than that, like thriving, pleasurable, playful, scintillating, heart-opening business with their mystical gifts. So this conversation with Casey is part of this direction that my career is going. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that where my desire goes is where my career goes with me. And this is the kind of thing that I want to be talking about right now. A conversation like the kind you're about to hear with Casey. Many of you know from listening to the last episode or following me in my newsletter and Instagram that I have a new offering coming up called Underdog to Diva. It's taking its form, but it's definitely going to be a 3-hour workshop that happens on March 9th, doors opening May 1st. Stay tuned to the other side of this conversation where I have more information about Underdog to Diva and how you can come and learn with me in a more intentional way under the magical spell of an exchange where we can go deeper into these gnarly but also zesty and very honest conversations, these topics around growing practices to support yourself as a divine being, walking among divine beings, who is also navigating the marketplace and marketplace realities that go along with that, like numbers and prices and exchanges and contracts with other human beings where money is involved. So stay tuned to the other side of the conversation. If you would like to learn more about Underdog to Diva, you can also just stay tuned with the things that I'm putting out in the world here at the end of April 2024 and early May 2024. All right, cheers and joy. Welcome to Moon, Casey.
Thank you, Britton.
Thank you for being here. I was thinking about how did I find you? I always like to start there. And two of the beautiful humans in one of my fall containers, Vulture Coven, Janie Williams and Samar Jade, had each separately kind of Britton, Casey. Yeah. I think there might be magic there. Mm-hmm. And you know, I like to just see where someone's suggestion lands in my unconscious and then kind of finds its way back to the conscious. Mm-hmm. And I remembered it and I went to your website and to BWB, your creative agency, and just got really interested in what you were doing and was so excited when I saw that your podcast is called Questions to Hold. Listeners here know I have a series called Living the Questions, and it's a central feature in my new book, Questions to Live Into, at the beginning of each chapter in case someone only has time for just that. Each sign season, and just see what happens when those questions light up your field every day. So you were so sweet to connect with me a couple months ago in Zoom, just to hang out and say hi, tell me your story. And I love your story. So that's actually where I'd love to begin, is just to give you some space to share about, whatever you want to illuminate about your path to being someone doing what you do today, and maybe you can describe what you do today, and we'll just kind of roll from there.
Yeah, well, it's so fun to be here. Thank you so much for being in conversation with me. And thank you, Samar and Chaney. I love you both, and I'm so grateful for the connections. And it was funny when you reached out, actually, when Samar and Chaney had also shared your work, I remember looking at your website and being like, oh, yes, this is a person that I must connect with at some point. So it was really cool to then have that opportunity and both be in the spirit of like, hey, let's just like talk and hang out. I don't know you. And then we were like, ooh, I want to know you more. So anyway, so fun and really happy to be here. For those who are listening who may not know me, I'm Casey, she, her. And I am, as Britton said, I am the founder and creative director of a creative agency called BWB. And I co-own it with my business partner, Caitlin, who we are celebrating 5 years in partnership together and in partnership with BWB, which maybe we'll talk about. We talk a lot about actually being in relationship with our businesses in certain ways. And so we do very intentionally cultivate that as a relationship that we're in as well with the business. A little more about me. I am a white cis woman. I live in upstate New York, which is unceded land of the Haudenosaunee and Mohican peoples. I also am a mother of two little beings and a partner to many, including my husband and my business partner, Caitlin, that I named, and many other partners and collaborators. It's just kind of the spirit of how I move in the world. And in addition to the creative agency, which we'll be talking about, I actually also co-own a restaurant, a farm-to-table restaurant in the upstate New York area with my husband as well, that we opened in November. So many,
Wow.
many identities, many things going on, but that gives a little snapshot of who I am and how I arrived here. And as Britton said, I guess I should just offer that as well. In many, many moons ago, but officially, like a few years ago, I actually gave birth to a card deck that I call Questions to Hold, as well as then subsequently, about a year following that, it also turned into a podcast, which has now been around for a couple of years, called Questions to Hold as well. And the whole idea of Questions to Hold is in cultivating a practice of being with inquiry as a tool for contemplation, building deeper meaning in our life, but also in the work that I do as really a central business practice as well. So I work with, individuals in that capacity, but also a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners in how to hold a lot of sacred questions in our work as a way, as like a strategic pathway in business. So seeds
There's
go
so
anywhere
much
with
there.
that.
First off, I love what you mentioned about being in relationship with your business. It's one of my teachings with those that I'm a mentor to whom I'm a mentor, that I find that my classes or a framework that I want to put out in the world or my book, for example, that they're all like beings that I'm in relationship with, and that it's not so much about. I really like this format for many reasons. One, it's very mystical. Two, it allows me to kind of get out of myself a little bit and my own, like, it allows me to uncouple from this being really about me and it being more about my listening and my stewardship. And then I think that openness creates then more flow. And I also just feel like from that listening place, I can act more confidently and efficiently with my energy rather than like being in a mental state of like what trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. So this was one of the things that really hit me in our conversation is your quite mystical approach to what could otherwise be thought of as more like dry or like which is more of like a logical career path or a muggle career path, so to speak. And yeah, I'm wondering if you could speak about your path as a
I don't know if you do you align with the idea of being a mystical person? Does that resonate for you?
Yep, just born this way. Indeed.
Was there a spiral around like, well, I guess I just can't be like that in this world, and then coming back to it, or have you just always led with this is who I am?
Yeah, I've always just led with this is who I am, which I feel is a great privilege. That for me, I never had any doubt in that, which comes in part from, who I am, I think, and also in part from the nurturance and the community that was around me that embraced that wholeheartedly and allowed me to be all of those things without any kind of questioning or doubt or judgment around them. So, I was really born, I think, to be this bridge between some of that practical business sensibility, this like grounded, very Capricorn earth sign energy with this very tuned in mystical sensibility around it as well. It's just been both of those things ever since I was a little one. I often link it to just as being somebody of Irish descent and ancestry, and Celtic in general, with a lot of like Scottish background as well. In terms of how a lot of the Celtic people held imagination and mysticism and the arts, also with this really like practical, grounded, earth-based, sense of self and sense of community. So I think it just kind of comes from lineage as well. And then, mine is existing in the Western world that I live in upstate New York, in the time that I'm living in, and all those kinds of things with all the different pieces at play. And I want to come to that piece about the relationship to our business or the relationship that you were naming, because, for me, really how I came into now what I would call the creative industry or branding was through the lens of creative writing, was through the lens of seeing business as a spiritual practice, as a devotional practice, kind of like seeing all of it as art and spiritual practice in a lot of different ways. And so even though I ended up in like the branding world, if you will, and things like that, I always fundamentally believed that I wanted branding. I wanted to push the industry forward in terms of what creative process and practice looked like in those ways, and how it was really intentionally talking about the culture building that we were doing in those spaces through design and storytelling and the larger impact and implication that had in our social arena. So all those pieces were really important to me, and it was like, how do I put that all in the cauldron to make something that's going to be a viable business, but also really spiritually fulfilling for me, and give my clients an alternative to something that's a lot more depth oriented in its approach, but gives that same output we need, like a website and branding and our story, that we still have all of that, but we're rooting it through a transformational process. So that's kind of been my path, and we're still on that journey. As you know, being somebody that sits with questions, there's no definitive answer. But, as we're moving into more years in the business and in the practice of what we do, we're kind of, moving into the answers and moving into the question in different ways. And one of the big keys to doing that we do for ourselves and for our clients is around understanding what is talked about as brand identity, but really putting deeper identity work into that. So that might look like understanding your positionality, like myself as a white cis woman, and some of the other identifiers that I named. That might look like understanding how your industry is sitting in a larger identity of things. Like, it could mean a lot of things, but really getting into that deeper identity work with it. And that simple question of like, what is your relationship to your business, is one of those kind of questions that explodes everything when you really sit with it in that of like, oh, I just came to you. I just thought you would do my logo. And it's like, okay, but before we get to your logo, I'd like to know what your relationship is with your business. And then we start to unlock all this deeper identity stuff and really provide this freedom whether it's like the psychic freedom within ourselves or, you know, a lot of different things that can come in with that, of separating I, the self or the entrepreneur or the business owner, founder, from the identity of the business and seeing us in dynamic partnership and inquiry together, and then recognizing, and then, you know, kind of doing a lot of the unpacking work that may come in there before jumping into design or copywriting or any kind of growth strategy. It's like, how are you two talking to each other? Mm-hmm. And really, let's like animate that. What power dynamics are in the room here? What patterns are you maybe living out with each other? What's like a question you're asking your business? What question is your business asking you? Like what all of this kind of, and we spend a lot of time in the upfront there, and it's unexpected for a lot of people, but it's literally the key that then unlocks something totally different than they would have expected in like coming into, you know, get a logo or something like that. And unlock a whole other possibility for what business can be and what being in dynamic relationship with our businesses can look like.
Mm. So great. You know, I know that for myself, and I know for a lot of, excuse me, I have a tickle, a lot of those that I work with who come and learn with me, who have dreams of expanding their mystical business or their astrological practice, grow clients. And for many in my community, many identify as anti-capitalists or disruptors, mm-hmm. As here for collective liberation. And a word like brand or a process like branding can feel very scary to approach. So I love this conversation because I feel like it allows what can be a really expansive, magical, transformative, revolutionary process into something that like you can claim, you could really claim it for what it means to you. I'm curious how you work with individuals who may feel very afraid that they're like giving themselves over to like an institution or a system that they're nervous about participating in, or weary about losing their power within. And what are some of the ways that, probably through questions, you open your clients into this process so that it feels good, you know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Branding is problematic. So, you know, all of our clients would be really similar in terms of values and questioning of institutions that you're naming with folks that you have in your circles. And that's why they come to us.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people say, they're like, a coach that we worked with really clearly once said to us, like, people are going to know right away if they want to work with BWB or not, you know? And we're like, that's great.
Like, great. That's amazing.
Right. You know, and that's what we're helping other people find as well. And so I think there's so many ways I could take your question, but one of the pieces that comes up right away is something that Caitlin and I talk about, but often maybe gets overlooked, which is simply that we use BWB as an experiment and a model ourselves. So in terms of that, like, we aren't on social media because we don't believe in social media as being a healthy space for us or as a necessary place where you have to be growing your business. So rather than just saying that and, you know, talking with clients about it, we're actually really modeling that and showing other growth potential and ways to kind of still maintain market presence and scale and have more impact, but yet really staying true to the resistance and the values that we're having within the system that we're questioning as well. So, you know, areas of just like modeling it, being willing to risk certain things that feel like, especially for social media, that a lot of people feel like they have to do. It's kind of one of those people would come to us and be like, well, I know I have to, but I don't want to. I can't touch that with a 10-foot pole. It makes me feel like I'm going to like, I stop breathing when I go on social media. And we're like, and why are we doing these things? And again, nothing's wrong with social media. Everybody has their own relationship with it. But what we're helping you and our clients do and ourselves do is understand we're at with it, and then being strategic to build up and understand that we can still find our own definitions of success in the marketplace without needing to subscribe to all the pieces that maybe we feel like we have to or that we don't want to anymore. So one of those ways is just simply in BWB being willing to experiment with our business and be models in that, and be like a learning institution. So we're really transparent with our process. A lot of our clients were in that kind of like learning with as well. And we talk right off the bat. It's on our website. It's in any new business conversation we might have. It's in pretty much any community conversation we have around what you're naming, which is that branding has a deeply problematic history, all the way down to the root of what it means to like mark and brand, and what happened within that, within society. And that's part of what we want to be working on repairing and reconciling and finding some other ways around of how do we design and how do we storytell and how do we really kind of quote package up something in the public arena, but in a way that feels deeply aligned, transformative, impact driven, and is doing kind of our best to not replicate all of what has kind of like historically been done. So like on our website, you'll see things like even we have a section about assumptions. And one of the assumptions of our work is that traditional branding and marketing has upheld the status quo. And so what we're, if we're coming into the work from that assumption, we're trying to undo that. Mm-hmm. And so, and then we have other assumptions written in there, like where we're coming in, you know, a lot of it reinforcing cis heteronormative norms that are out there as well. And so if we know all of that about image making and storytelling and even SEO and search functions and how all of this is kind of built up to either, you know, support the status quo or replicate and kind of reinforce his heteronormative lifestyle, then we're starting from those assumptions and we're going to be doing something differently together as a collective and challenging and holding each other accountable to being in that relationship and inquiry about how we can do this differently. So again, we just name and frame it right off the bat. And we're always transparent about being learners in that. And being imperfect and, you know, just being in the process of really creating something different together. And then there's a million practices that I won't go into all of them, but from this questions to hold practice, which is absolutely central to the kind of work that we're doing and how we relate with clients, and also doing a lot of deep coaching work in any capacity, even if we're just working together in a design relationship, making sure that there's a lot of room for storytelling and mentorship and here and, you know, exercises like unpacking our shoulds. And are we operating in any of our shoulds when we're doing this work? So there's so many ways that we're doing it, you know, that it's hard to kind of just name and frame it. But I think it goes everything from like who we are and how we're showing up in the market, how we're modeling it and really walking the walk within all of it. And then the day-to-day kind of processes and practices and all of that has to be in place for people to trust us. And we know how important trust is in any kind of creative relationship. So that's of the highest importance to us that we care for people, they feel our trust and, you know, the relationship kind of goes off from there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I think that when I'm thinking for myself, it was late 2019 when I had tea with the woman who designed my book, Angela George. She was one of my first clients, kind of magically that just happened and that we created this connection. And I shared that I was going to leave behind the name that I had and claim my own name. And she suggested I think about having a logo. And at the time, it was like, a logo? Who do I think I am? A serious business owner? You know? Oh, wait. and this process of like, well, I like you and we have fun together. Maybe this would be a creative, generative, exciting, magical process. So I said yes. And this process of being invited to feel into not just my ethical values, but also my aesthetic preferences. You know, okay. I'm speaking to a Taurus rising here with mm-hmm. an exalted Venus, you know, really feeling into the nuances of my aesthetics and then receiving it back reflected through her genius. The moment that crystallized was such a powerful shift in how everything happened after that, because it's almost like branding. I'm seeing it now as almost like enhancing your aura, like from a mystical person, like an energy perspective. It feels like it does something to help amplify the energy that you through and your business are collaborating in together, so that more people can see it. And there's something about this that like remove it from what we all may think about branding and brands, and just thinking of it from a magical perspective, and like the history of like sigils and ways that we create, you know, through symbol and through aesthetic, and forge it, all that energy, into something really simple that can be repeated and shared. It's quite a magical thing, and fun actually too, I found.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it's about, you know, it's the both and. There are some folks who, for so many reasons, like branding has become a surface act that's just about selling. You know, mm-hmm. so like, you know, just tell me what I'm supposed to look like and what I have to do and how I should package it up. And it's like the formula piece. And that's just about like the surface kind of like packaging it up, aesthetic only driven, you know, kind of like image making culture that maybe has been harmful in a variety of different ways. And then there's this other opportunity where we've even had to work with clients to give themselves permission to do what you were just saying, which is like, also, we don't have to feel ashamed that we have a vision that we want to bring into form, and it helps us feel seen and represented. It gives our idea an affirmation in the world. It gives our idea a body that we can like relate to and see and feel it, give it back to us and be in reflection with. And I think for some of us who are maybe a little bit more counterculture or not kind of as embedded in the institution, there can be this need to almost give ourselves permission to have those things, because we've seen them as like, oh, surface, or oh, am I official of a business or enough? Or, you know, any of those yes. other associations that might come up. But really what we've seen is that it can be and is incredibly important. It's not just like an aesthetic activity, which also is okay. You know, some people are like, I just want to play with beauty and form, and I've had this creative idea and I want to see it come to life. And it's like, that's okay too, you know, mm-hmm. but sometimes it really is, especially just with our clients, is like giving that permission to allow ourselves to want to have what has been kind of deemed like the superficial or the external, but wanting to have that piece in place as a way that really actually allows us to inhabit our work and our life in a more complete way. So we will hold that really tenderly in the process, but when we get to the end of it, it's like, whoa, like a whole nother realm of possibility comes up. And again, we're working with people who are mostly working in the realms of social impact. So that's like, we all win, because when that's out there, then they can actually be out there doing the good work, with more confidence, with more clarity, and, you know, just more of a sense of self, which is important.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, you also had a name change. We were talking about it before recording.
Yeah.
Tell me about You are BWB now, and that stands for something, and you had a name change. And I find name shifts to be really transformative, and it reverberates in the field. Yeah. And so I love to hear you tell this story.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you for asking me. Britton and I were talking about this before we started recording. But so when I started the company, which was in 2015, it was called Bold Woman Brands. And I actually got a clear download on that one day in the living room of my house. And I had kind of like the seeds of the business were there. I had been coaching women entrepreneurs for about a year at that point, just under my own name, Casey Carroll. And I knew that the business did not want to be the same identity as my own name. Like that always felt like a clear to me, but I wasn't clear on where it was going. And I remember sitting in the living room. I lived in California in the Bay Area at the time. And I was like looking out at this eucalyptus tree that I absolutely loved. And it was just so clear. It was like Bold Woman Brands. And I remember being like, no, that can't be it. Like, don't do it. Like I had such a reaction to it. And the message just keep being like Bold Woman Brands. That's the name of the company.
Why didn't you like it?
No. And I was like, because for me, it felt like it was really calling me forward into this bigger container. One, in like claiming myself as a bold woman. Two, I'm like, who am I to start a business called Bold Woman Brands? I was like, get out of here. No. But then also, it felt like it was really kind of like affirming my role as I identify as a feminist, and as a BWB now identifies as a feminist business. And it was really kind of putting a stake in the ground for me around visibility, much more public speaking around these kinds of things. And so at the time I was just a little bit younger and newer in that realm. And I was like, oh no. But then I was like, okay, spirit, I trust you. I trust that it's Bold Woman Brands. I will do this. But I remember that first year, everybody being like, oh, what's the name of your company? I'd be like, oh, Bold Woman Brands. Like it's so fast. Like try to like hide it. And they'd be like, Bold Woman Brands? Whoa, that's awesome. Tell me more about it. It was like a tell me more about it kind of name. So it was really beautiful, which in naming is, you know, a great thing to have something that's like conversation starter. It really resonates for some people. And for other people, they're like, I don't want anything to do with a company named Brands. You know, it's like, no. I remember one day I was at the gym actually, and somebody came up to me and it was like awkward because I think they were like trying to flirt with me. And they're like, what's the BWB on your shirt? And I was like, oh, it's Bold Woman Brands. And he was like, oh, and like, what? Yeah. I was like, yeah, you don't want to talk to me about that. Okay. So, anyways, for all those reasons, but spirit had a path, had a vision for me. So I said yes. And as I said, it really served for about 5 years. That name really, really served us. It served us because it drew in exactly who we wanted to work with. It aligned with our values. It was representative of me. And ultimately, when me and Caitlin folded into the business together, we are two bold women who were doing that work together. But like all evolutions and identities, there came a time in our business growth and in our own awareness as feminists and as women that really Bold Woman Brands was not representing us anymore. And more, me and her were just kind of unconsciously, subconsciously calling the company BWB. And that was for a few reasons. One, we were working with folks of all genders. It was not just in service to women. We were working with a lot of gender nonconforming and non-binary folks. We were working with a few men. So it really, the association wasn't linking in the same way in terms of like who we were really servicing. But also for us, you know, we've done so much reconciling as being a feminist business and as being somebody that talks about applying feminist principles in business around kind of repairing this understanding of women and being more inclusive into a variety of different gender expressions. And it felt like it just no longer is actually doing the opposite of what we originally wanted it to do. And so we just had outgrown it. We had learned more than, you know, what it originally stood for. And we have no shame for what it was. It's just a matter of it was another iteration of our growth. And so through a lot of deep work that we did with Tristan Katz, who also works in marketing, but does a lot of like trans inclusion and gender equity work as well. We were doing a lot of trainings and we just decided, hey, the time has come. We're going to be it's time to officially change the company name to BWB. So two years ago, we officially changed the name to BWB. And to your point, it was massively transformative in terms of like what the name held and established, because it felt like it opened up this whole new container for Caitlin and I to step into the next level of our leadership and business leadership that we were ready to do, and the work that we were ready to do inside of the company, the issues we were ready to tackle and talk about. So it's just been, you know, it's been 2 years now as BWB, and it feels like just more, even more grounded, and that we have it's like more of a embodied felt sense, but we have kind of like the energetic oomph we need to like kind of go into this next 10 years, hopefully plus, of business together. And we're very grateful for our first Bold Woman Brands baby.
I love that. It's like the story, the history is still there, because it's just it's the abbreviation. Mm-hmm. And anytime someone asks you, like I did, you have the opportunity to share so much about your values, your story. It's not like you had to hide it and get another name or something like this.
Yeah. Well, and also I had to trust spirit, because it was calling me to task with that name. And part of the task with that name was also having to recognize that that name was not serving and was actually being harmful and problematic in a way. So it was like, it called me forward into the business. It gave me this huge opportunity and platform to like grow into that confidence. And then it also gave me the next level of maturation of recognizing when something needs to die and when it hasn't been representative anymore. And then it's the next cycle of life that's kind of ready to move on. So it always will call us forward in that kind of way. And it's just no longer the company name anymore. You know, it's the acronym. But as we were saying, even before this, like to be in those conversations, I think is so important too, about like, just being willing to be in dialogue around like what was great about something can suddenly then not be so great anymore. And often, like I said in the beginning, it gives me an opportunity to talk about things like the associations that are built with, when I say a feminist now, and people are like, oh, so you only work with women? And it's like, feminism, actually, that has nothing, that's not the correlation, but it gives us an opportunity to get in dialogue around that. Which is, you know, I think dialogue and conversations critical in the world. So it's being an inquiry together in any way is an important thing.
Yes. You know, I think it's in the Virgo chapter of the book. And then I talk about this with Unshaming Virgo in particular. I have an Unshaming the Science project. This idea that like, we're not allowed to be humans who are learning, you know, like it doesn't mean that spirit like gave you a bad, quote unquote, bad name in 2015. Mm-hmm. It's like you're just allowed to be a person who is learning. And this is what's so great about questions, right? And not having answers is the openness to not have to be someone who already knows things, everything, right?
Well, and I think shame
culture.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it gave, you know, being in a questions practice as a central business practice that we're in too, again, it's about being in dialogue with that company about that relationship. So there was just a point where it was like, okay, when we started to recognize that we weren't even calling it BWB anymore, then we could be in dialogue with the business and say like, why? As if the business had spirit, like, I'm so curious, like, Bold Woman Brands, like, tell me what's coming up for you. And it's like the voice on the other side is like, this doesn't represent me anymore. You know, like I'm changing. I'm not, you know, like this isn't my identity anymore, et cetera. And then me and Caitlin in a questioning, listening process are also like, okay, I get you. I can see you. We can change with you. Like, here's how we can like meet that. And here's some questions we have for you, like, et cetera. Like it really was a dialogue of inquiry back and forth on that way of like, how do we ask questions and be in like a listening state with each other? Because, you know, it's all always changing in that way. And that's why setting that up right at the very gate with us when we work with clients is so important, because it's like, just you have to be in that practice ongoing, and questions is one of the key tools that we use to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think our, like this idea that authenticity means like constant consistency forever, you know, like an unchanging identity, you know, is not reflective of the change that we see all around us all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll a lot of times say too, because obviously, like as we're saying, you know, we have the card deck questions to hold that we bring into things. We lead workshops, we lead retreats around being with deeper questions in our life and our work and things like that. But a lot of times we'll even offer to people like that your business is asking questions. And a lot of times it's like your business is asking a question of your audience. It's asking a question of your industry. It's asking a question of the world. Like, what are some of these big questions that your work or your business is asking? You know, I know for like BWB, we're living into the question of like, what does it mean to be a feminist business? Question mark. What does it mean to be a feminist business? We speak on that. We have some ideas, but we're like, literally, we're asking that question into the marketplace. And we're like, listening for like what's coming back for us and what's true inside of us. I think we're also asking some bigger questions about like, what is possible for like profitability and viability for a branding business that is not seeking to go the status quo, that is taking more risk in those kinds of ways. And we're asking those questions, and hopefully at the end of it all, we'll have some answers, or we'll have lived into the answers and into some way. But we offer that too for people to also, if it's harder to get into like the questioning process within themselves, but maybe an entry point is to like really think about what are these bigger questions you're kind of posturing to the world about your work or through your business, and then listen for them. Listen to like what's coming back versus, you know, trying to come up with a fixed answer with anything. Letting that inform your business strategy or your evolution or your growth, like letting that be a really important part as much as like what's happening in the marketplace, you know, kind of thing.
Gosh, yes. Yeah. And it seems like such a great practice to notice where maybe there's like a lack of coherence or congruency in your communication, when like your conscious mind thinks that you're doing something, but turns out your business is asking different questions.
Exactly.
And you're wondering why like things aren't like responding the maybe the way you were hoping that they would. That getting clear on what are the questions were me and then the business are asking can help create help refine your communication.
Yeah, absolutely. When we do, we call like the unpacking to package up, but we always start in this like big deep unpacking process. And a lot of that too is like taking a very intentional, conscious look at like your brand's image, your brand's words, your what questions you're asking, how people are responding. And it's from that kind of like coherence standpoint, right? Of like no judgment. We're not trying to judge. We're not trying to like get anything out of that data. You know, a lot of people are like, what's the end goal of like taking all the stock of all that? And the end goal is really to like gather all the evidence, like see the big picture, and then just identify like where there's coherence, where there's energy, where there isn't, where we're telling a story that we don't know why we're still telling that story, like why it's driving, you know, all that kind of thing. It's like to just get that full picture out in front of us. And then there's usually, you know, a bunch of different insights that come out of that. And then we can kind of what we call then the package up, but you have to do that like bigger unpacking work first of like looking at all of it and seeing where there's alignment or where maybe you're asking an old question and you're getting an old answer coming back to you over and over again, and it's not working anymore kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm noticing your Scorpio moon here, which is pretty near Pluto, the same sign, at least in your seventh house of, you know, working with someone, one-on-one contracts, just that capacity, I imagine, that you have to kind of, and what's under that and what's under that, and kind of get down into that unpacking place where we're often afraid to see what's under the rock, you know?
Yeah. If anybody's listening and wants to work with me, like, I hope you're ready to see under the rock. That's the beauty of it, right? But also, I think to what you're naming too, which is like getting into that, like unpacking, getting into like what's under the rock, but not getting so inward focused that we can't dare risk like the next step, because like, but I haven't seen, but maybe I need to, but maybe there's another question. Maybe there's another, maybe I need to. It's like doing a lot of that deep work. And then at some point having that inner trust and resilience and discernment that's like, okay, but now I need to like put it out. And there's going to be then the putting it out is going to put another layer that I can get into layer. Cause otherwise I think we just stay like inner focused or like going deeper, deeper. And there is that ebb and flow of needing to have like the external and then coming back into the internal and being, you know, between both.
Yeah. Wow. I imagine you have an intuitive sense for like, we have enough data.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on.
Yeah. And that's why I say, you know, that's kind of where some of the loving yet honest and kind of firm support will come in around accountability, which is like, okay, time to jump at this point. You know, it's like it's time for like the action or time for the form to take place. And, you know, again, because we build trust with folks in the way that we do, and we genuinely care and have very deep relationships, we can offer that kind of counsel and be in, you know, in relationship with our clients that way, because we're not trying to just like sidetrack something, be like, okay, don't want to be in that process anymore. Just like go for it. And then we'll revisit that. It's like, it is coming from a place of that intuitive knowing, or this is like in service to the greater piece that you're going for. And we'll be here to help you take that step.
Yeah. I noticed that you have, you also do classes and retreats and different kinds of teaching events, I guess. Yeah. Have you always done that?
Yeah, I remember once I was doing some spiritual journey work when I was living in Colorado, and I sat next to this woman and she's like, "Are you a teacher?" And I was like, no, I've never been a teacher, never done any teaching. And then it's like come up in my so many different times around like educating or holding like workshop space. I'm like, I guess I do some education, but it's not the primary identity I usually associate with. But Caitlin and I really feel like this is where a lot of the gift of the work lies, and a lot of the gift in her and I co-facilitation lies, which is in some of these like virtual and in-person immersive experiences like this. So we'll do, you know, in addition to like the one-on-one work that we do with people kind of offering full service branding work, we'll do workshops. That's actually how we met. Samar and Cheney was doing these kind of workshops, really supporting people in a group setting in doing this deeper identity work, brand strategy work, unpacking work that we're talking about here, and starting to kind of like position the deeper healing work that then comes into the positioning work. So we do some workshops around that. And then our retreats, we host 1 to 2 a year, and those are in person and really small groups. So we'll do like 5 or 6 people, but they're absolutely entirely centered around questions. So the one that we lead in the summer, we call Lead with Questions. And that is a very spirit-driven container that is about offering, you know, being in the abundance of the season in upstate New York, which is like teeming with like life and heat and humidity and thunderstorms, and letting that kind of be with your interior life and some of the bigger questions that you're holding as it relates to your leadership. We talk a lot about like actually being a leader who is embodying questions over answers, is revolutionary and is an act of resistance and is the kind of leadership model that we want to be subscribing to. We believe people who are asking big questions and willing to sit with big questions are the leaders that we're looking to right now in the world. So that's really what that kind of summer container is around like thinking about how to reshape leadership principles, our own leadership and our lifestyle, centering around questions in that kind of space. And then what wants to happen in our work because of it. And then the retreat that we're preparing for right now, which is going to be in at the end of April, which is also in upstate New York, we're calling Create with Questions. And this is our first time running it, where we will be holding a lot of that big space around like letting the questions to hold practice be lived through like, you know, intentional walks and different contemplative activities and things like that. But we're going to be doing deep creative process. It's essentially like an art residency creative retreat where people are coming with a big creative project that they're wanting to do in their business and haven't given them themselves the time, whether it's a book or a podcast that they're launching or a creative project that they're trying to work on or a social impact initiative. And basically it's leveraging the group and the questions practice to dive deep into our creative process together for 3 days. So I think, you know, they both have both the retreats have a similar core in terms of their essence and spirit, but this is going to be a lot more driven by creative process, and the other one's a lot more driven by like land-based connection and nature connection. It's really beautiful work. I mean, that, again, as I said, like that's just where to us, the gift of the work. And that's us listening to the business. That's the business asking us to, you know, realize the work in that kind of way. And then Caitlin and I saying yes to the call to do that work. So hopefully you can come to one.
It sounds very regenerative.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And restorative. I love that you have the spaciousness to dream that, you know, into being.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of dreaming, then I'm curious about the deck creation. Like I have lots of different things that are sort of in my space that would like someday to live on the planet Earth, yeah. You know, but I just wait until they get really precocious and to tell me what they want, you know.
Yeah.
A deck is like there, but it doesn't feel super close, so it's not going to happen this year probably, but who knows. Well, you never know when something comes in.
Yeah, that's how that happened. I totally agree with you, and that's how it happened for the questions to hold deck to come. I was pregnant with my second baby, and I had a 4-year-old at the time. And I had never done an art residency. One, I never wanted to do the portfolio submission part of it. Two, being a parent with the idea of taking that much time away, and it just wasn't feasible with what we were working with. And then I found this opportunity that's called Wintertide at the Malay Colony of the Arts, which is out this way. And it's perfect for parents. It was perfect for me. It was perfect for parents. It was like, you could go for 2 nights. You could go up to 5 nights. I think you could even go a little longer. And it was low cost, but it basically, you could pick your medium that you wanted to go work there, whether it was writing or photography or what kind of, you know, access to studio space you wanted. And you didn't need to submit a portfolio. It was just a space where you could go create. And when I was pregnant with Mateo, I said to my partner, I'm like, I really feel like this is an important thing for me to do. And I went thinking I was going to drop back in with my photography. And I brought all my cameras. I had grown up doing photography. I brought all my cameras. I brought my film. I was like, oh, I'm ready. I'm going to get back in the dark room. Oh, it's going to feel so good. And I spent 3 days instead, like meandering snowy trails, writing poetry, which is my first art that I ever did. And the whole download of the deck came. It was like all 37 questions came, like on the walk. It was like this question, all the questions came. At night, I like couldn't sleep. I like ended up writing the interior of the book that would go into the deck. I got visions for what the art was going to look like, and then worked with our designer, Kelly, who really realized the symbolism and significance of the deck art. So really that residency, it was just like a full download on the deck. And I was like, well, I guess it's time for the deck to come through. So after I took maternity leave, basically we printed the deck. And then when I came back from leave, the deck was out there. And that's when we started doing workshops and kind of starting into the podcast around all of it too. So it just, you know, the questions to hold practice had been something I'd been doing for, I don't know, 10 years or something prior to that. But then this just, it was like time for this creative project to move through, and it did. And now it lives out in the world.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Is there significance to 37 for you?
I mean, other than the significance of that being what spirit was naming at the time, no, I have no significance around the number. Although I don't know what part of my chart this might be, but I was like, oh, but can't it be an even number? I'm like, isn't there an even number? And it's funny because it even went to an odd number because I felt really called to have a blank card as a question. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, but that makes it 37. I really like it. I really feel better if it was an even number. So it took me a while to sit with that. But no, there's no significance. It just was really like, as I said, through the walking and through the processing that was happening, and that just kind of, that was it. And I've heard the call, and I trust that this might not be the only iteration of that. There might be cards added. There might be questions changed. You know, it's not finite in that way. I mean, I don't feel that it's so precious that it could never change or anything like that. But this was just like what was ready to kind of come through as a collection the first time around.
I love that. I mean, I'm looking at your creative house and it's Virgo, which you don't have placements in, but Virgo is very precise. And so I don't know, maybe just some part of you knows it's this number and no other. Yeah,
and trusted it. Well, I can't wait for your deck or whatever comes to come out. But you did just give birth to a book. So we need to maybe just...
I know.
For a little bit.
Yeah, I imagine it will come in fast because it usually does when something's ready. But I think one of the boldest things to play into the word bold is to just go ahead and listen and do it, you know, even if, like you said, later on, you're like, oh, I will amend this. Oh, later on, I'll change my name, actually. Later on, like, it's a bold thing. And I feel like my whole career is built on this kind of audacity. I'm an Aries rising. To just kind of do it before you have every single piece of information that you might ever need. And even if you're terrified, and I love your stories. It's very inspiring what you're doing in the world.
Thank you for having me on to share about it. It's so
Thank
nice to
get you to just... for coming. I know our paths will be crossing again, and we will know when it's time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I cannot wait. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for everybody who's listening here and the good work and life that you're doing in the world, and more soon.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you so much, Casey. Thank you for bringing your wisdom to Moon to Moon. Listeners, I'm inviting you to check out the links in the show notes to connect with Casey and find out what Casey's up to, as well as to invest in her deck, Questions to Hold. So many listeners know that in a few weeks, I'm going to have a workshop called Underdog to Diva. And the doors for that are going to open on May 1st. And if you're listening and you want to get in on this workshop, all you need to do is be following me on my newsletter, following Moon to Moon, or following me on Instagram, and you will find out all the ways that you can join. But I recorded this with Casey, not thinking that this was going to be, you know, adjacent to my promo, or like, yeah, this will be part of the whole Underdog to Diva rollout. But like, turns out it's pretty adjacent. You know, I think it's just a signal of where my attention is right now. You know, I have been on a mystical path for 6 years now. Let's see, is it six? Am I making that up? I guess really you would say that it was seven, including like before, right before I found astrology and like the build up to me finding it. And this mystical path has shocked me in teaching me that not only is my mystical guidance creating a pathway for me to follow where I see the vision and I understand that the vision is here because it wants to exist. In fact, it already does in a dimension of reality. And that if I see the vision, then my role is to be a steward to the vision, because the vision is trusting me to bring it to the human beings that it's meant for. That has been what I have been learning. But what has been coming forward, especially in the last year for me, is an even more interesting layer to this. That it's not just a mystical vision that is unfolding my relationship to my work, to my stewardship, and to those that I magnetize. It is also my desire. It is also my pleasure. It is also just being in connection with what I want to have happen, how I want it to go, how I want it to feel as it's going, how I want the whole vibe to vibrate. What would that be like? And folding that in has been the scarier, the harder one to fold in, because it's easeful for me to be in relationship with my visions. That feels like permissionable, even though it's super weird and it's very like not, it doesn't conform to typical templates for business. Yes, that's true. That part of my work
has not been complicated for me to learn how to permission and express since I started letting it in. It wasn't the first part of my life, but since I started letting it in, it was just like, of course I'm going to permission this. This is who I am now. But this piece around desire, receiving, pleasure, opening myself up to how do I want it to feel, that piece has been a much more charged, much scarier one to permission because of the shame around our desire being bad, our desire being selfish, our desire being toxic. And you can tell yourself all you want, oh, that's programming. Oh, that's harm from capitalism. Oh, that's the harm of rhetoric of sin and the dirtiness of the body. You can tell yourself that logically, but it's like a whole other thing to enact it and to embody it and to live it and to hold inside of it, inside of the frequency. And really weaving this piece in and seeing that like pleasure is also wisdom, desire is part of the vision of my service. This has been huge, but it's a scarier, more vulnerable thing to talk about because it's much scarier and much more vulnerable to talk about money and receiving and the marketplace than it is to talk about mysticism in communities that have values around liberation, that have values around questioning the status quo and not up-leveling anything that could be potentially toxic, you know? So this process has been taking me on a huge journey that has been revealing the framework that I want to bring to you, that I have been bringing to you because I brought it in the last episode, and you're going to hear me on Healing the Spirit sometime in the next week. It's going to come out with Jonathan Coe. And then in the 3-hour workshop, I'm going to really like get into it with you to support you in self-leading, self-guiding, self-teaching, self-holding as you work with your, as you work with the support seen and unseen that you have around you to fortify your connection to yourself so that you can bring this framework to your reality, to your business, to your practice, however it feels an affinity for you, because you're not me and you're going to want to approach it differently. So I'm really excited to share this template with you. And if you want to play, if you're curious, if you want to find out what I'm going to say, if you want to get your hands on that PDF I'm going to share, if you want to get, you know, if you want to experience the meditation I'm creating, then I'm inviting you to stay tuned for more information so that you can enroll in Underdog to Diva when I offer the early bird price and just snag it, right out of the gates. So thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for playing with me. Yeah, I think that's complete. I feel complete. Thank you so much. I'll see you at the next one. Cheers.